السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نجعل له عينين ولسانا وشفتين صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله My noble audience, last week we started a discussion and basically the title or the topic that we were discussing last week was that the month of Ramadan has come to an end and we need to maintain some kind of fasting. So the month of Ramadan is the fasting basically of the stomach. And once we exit the month of Ramadan, it seems like we switch off. Now if we want to maintain that same level that we upheld in the month of Ramadan, basically it's not practical. So we needed to focus upon the fasting of one body part. The men, if they can make a commitment for the next 11 months, that they will fast in relation to one body part, and then the ladies make a commitment that they will fast in relation to one body part, inshallah we will sustain the nuraniyat and the spiritual levels that we attain in the month of Ramadan. And I think this is something that we can all relate to, that we can't maintain that level. It is impossible for many. And I made mention that after deliberation and after strong and deep contemplation in the light of the Quran and the Hadith and observation, because observation is a very strong tool by which a person gains a lot of knowledge. I came to this understanding that the men, if they can make a mu'ahidah with Allah, that I am going to beautify my eyes with fasting. I am going to apply the laws of fasting to my eyes in the next 11 months. So we're not talking about the stomach, we're not talking about the fasting of the tongue, but we're just talking about the fasting of the eyes. Basically, if we can, at some level, uphold the fasting of the eyes, it will allow us to walk on the path of modesty. And it will close many, many windows of evil and sin. And basically, this is the problem with the men. I made mention that women have their own weaknesses, and men have their own weaknesses. And one of the greatest weaknesses of the men is the eye. It's very hard for us to control our eyes. So from last week, I don't know if we have made that mu'ahidah and what is the follow-up and how much we have fasted in relation to our eyes. But if the fast has been broken, we need to renew the fast. The fasting in the month of Ramadan is in the daylight hours. For 12 hours, 13 hours, 14 hours. The fasting of the eyes is 24/7. So basically that's the difference between the fasting of the eye and the fasting in the month of Ramadan. The 24 hours, yes, when a person closes his eyes, وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. When the sleep takes over, then basically your fast of the eye opens. Now you can see whatever you want to see in your dreams. But as long as the eyes are open, there are certain things that we can see and there's certain things that we can't see. I made mention of a hadith and we ran out of time and we did not have the opportunity to elaborate and give sufficient lighting upon this hadith. The hadith has been recorded by Targhib al-Tarhib on the authority of the famous Rabi Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, in which Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "An-nabratu sahmun masmum min sihami iblis. Man tarakaha min makhafati abdaltuhu imanan yajid halawatahu fi qalbih." Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. So basically the Nabi of Allah is saying that the Satan, our perpetual enemy, his animosity never drops in level. It is always at that intense level. And he's always thinking, and he's always studying, and he's always trying to derail us. He's always trying to derail us. His mission in life is to derail us. And he has a lot of experience. Yours, my experience is the experience of how many years? 30, 40 years. He has seen humanity evolve. From the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam till today, he has studied the pages of history. He has seen the ups and the downs. So he has many, many strikes, arrows that he uses to derail us. But there is one arrow that he uses that is dipped in poison. And basically, when he strikes that arrow or releases that arrow from his bow, it doesn't miss. It hits the target. And that is the eye. So many a times we try to repel the thoughts. We repel the opportunity of committing a physical crime. But when it comes to the eye, we take it lightly. So how does he win? What is that venom? Let me make mention of what that venom is. That venom is we take it lightly. So if one person is presented poison, and he knows the impact and the athar of that poison, he will say, "I'm not going to drink this. I'm going to die immediately." But if he does not know it is poison, he will take it lightly. And he will drink it and he will die. And that's why bid'ah is a major, major sin. Because a person does not take it as something wrong. He does not take it as something wrong. So men in general, with the exception of a few, وَقَلِيل, they take the sin of the eye very, very lightly. But they do not understand that this sin, this looking of haram, is basically impacting across the board. It is impacting across the board. You know, many a times we say that we don't feel, a lot of youngsters they come and they say, we don't feel in when it comes to ibadat. Basically the ladha, the ecstasy, when we are praying, we don't enjoy it. When we are reading Quran, we do not enjoy it. When we sit in the masjid, we do not enjoy it. And when a person does not enjoy, it becomes a burden. It becomes a burden. Many a times when people go to the workplace and they are working in a profession that is not desirable to them, they want to retire. They try to find some work that they relate to, that they enjoy. I speak to many people, they say, "We go in the morning, it's a azab. I hope I was not working. I could do something else. Waking up in the morning, going at 8 o'clock, coming back 5 o'clock, I don't enjoy any moment." Now think about all those people that don't enjoy the salah. That's 5 times a day. You know, a lot of people say, "I can't wake up in the morning." Basically, if we were to dissect this and study this carefully, we will find that there is something right at the back that we are taking lightly that is responsible for this statement. But we are not focusing upon that has been brushed under the carpet. And that has been brushed under the carpet is the reason why a person is trying to move away from this ritual. And in a very subtle manner, in a very beautiful style, the Nabi of Allah addresses this. So basically the hadith is of Targhib wa Tarheeb on the authority of Hazrat Abu Umama. لَتَغُضَّنَّ أَبْصَارَكُمْ وَلَتَحْفَظُنَّ فُرُوجَكُمْ أَوْ لَيَكْسِفَنَّ اللَّهَ وُجُوهَكُمْ. So there are two orders that have to be upheld. If the order is not upheld, then the punishment strikes that human being. That is, لَيَكْسِفَنَّ اللَّهَ وُجُوهَكُمْ. Basically, the Nabi of Allah is saying, lower your gaze. That is basically in tune with the message of Surah An-Nur. Surah An-Nur, verse number 30. Surah 24, verse 30. كُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِ. Lower your gaze. Then the Nabi of Allah says, protect your private parts. So if a person doesn't lower his gaze and does not protect his private part, what happens? لَيَكْسِفَنَّ اللَّهُ وُجُوهَكُمْ. Allah will take the light away from his face. That light of Iman. On the day of judgment, when a person will stand up, he will walk in the light of the Iman that he has worked upon in this dunya. There's a mighty light of Iman, but Allah does not allow it to become visible, because then it will not be faith upon ghaib. So people that have that strong iman, if they were walking and they were illuminated like the tube light, people will start to become Muslims because of that. So Allah does not allow that to happen. But there is a light. You know, a lot of times we say that, I look at this person, he's got a shine on his face. Many times people may come to you and say, you got noor. And sometimes you see a person, you can feel there's so much darkness on his face. Muslim and non-Muslim, darkness on his face. The Nabi of Allah says, zina and roaming with your eyes is going to bring that walala, that darkness on the face. And basically this face is the book that is projecting the state of the heart and the state of the inside. So it is most important that we protect ourselves from this arrow that has been dipped in poison. Now if we do, it is something that demands struggle. And think about it, if we start looking straight away, the month of Ramadan has ended and we start looking at things that we should not be looking at, we are opening the door through which all the good that we have collected in the month of Ramadan is exiting. And a person will stop enjoying his ta'alluq with Allah. You know, when people find that, look at, I used to pray at night and I can't wake up now. Or I used to be very punctual with my reading, but I have stopped. Straight away, focus. Go through the pages of your past. Study the pages of your past. And try to stop at that moment where you broke your connection with Allah by doing something that was not approved by Allah. These are the circumstances. لذت کا ختم ہونا عبادت کے اندر یہ عذاب ہے اللہ کا. It is sad because we are taking this lightly. We look, that's it. And we don't even consider it to be wrong. And a time comes that it builds, it accumulates. And then the look is attached with lust and desire. Then the look is attached with thoughts. And then these thoughts blossom. Then they are stored in the mind. And in private moments, the shaitan uses them. He brings them out of the storage. and then we commit crime in private. That's why our private life is very different than our public life. We will not attain the grace and the rida of Allah if our private life is not in tally with our public life. Our public life at some level is a life of taqwa right now. But what is our private life? Many of humanity is struck by pornography. So in the old days, if a person wanted to see something explicit, he wanted to see something haram, wrong, immodest, he had to travel to a certain area. And there were many impediments and barricades that he has to pass by, so he's not caught out. So the environment in the past was such that a person had to do so much to arrive at the station of haram. And basically, not due to the fear of Allah, because of those stations, a person used to say, forget about it. And he didn't go to those places. But shaitan has evolved. His methods and his techniques have evolved. He has brought haram to our homes. He has brought haram to our homes. We don't have to do much. We just pick up the mobile. So many a times we are proud to give our children mobiles, but we are not ready to study what they are watching. From a very young age, and this is for the parents, from a very young age, we're very particular when it comes to the hijab. We're very particular when it comes to the hijab. And we say that the girl should wear the hijab, 10 years old. But have we ever said to our baby boy, lower your gaze? Have we ever said that? Why isn't that a part of our tarbiyah? Why don't we educate them about the modesty of the eye? Because if the boy is modest, if the girl is not wearing the hijab, she is still safe. I'm not saying that she should take off the hijab, but she's still safe because he's modest. But if she's wearing the hijab, but this person is not controlling his eyes, she is still not safe. But we talk about the hijab, but we never tell our children, hey, bachche, aankhon ko niche kar, lower your gaze. Haram has been brought to our doorstep, but we take it lightly. So children at a very young age, that innocence, that purity of the soul has been tarnished at a very, very young age. It has been destroyed from a very, very young age. The age of tahara, the age of tazkiyah, the age of purity. We should be very, very mindful when it comes to the male gender in particular, and especially the eye of the male gender. And that's why the Nabi of Allah says, the nur is taken away. Now a lot of people, a lot of youngsters, they say, Imam Sahib, jo ho gaya, ho gaya. Jo ho gaya, ho gaya. I used to watch certain things that I shouldn't. Now I'm addicted. And this is an addiction. Nowadays, the wave is of a wave that speaks against spirituality. May it be Islam, may it be Christianity, may it be Judaism, or any other faith. We're not talking about the faith being right or wrong, faith. The wave that is being projected is the wave against faith. Anything that can damage the faith, anything that can be injected in the community that is not conducive to the faith is going to be promoted, endorsed. So we can't control the environments, but we can control our own environment. We can control our own environment. If I can't control the world, I can control my world. I want you to remember this. If I can't control the world and the environment of the world, I can control the environment of my world. No one can push me to do something that I don't want to do. I can control myself. So a lot of people are addicted nowadays. A lot of people are watching things that they should not. And afterwards, whatever level of iman we have, we regret the moment. We say, yeah, nahi dekhna chahiye tha. I shouldn't be watching this. But this regret is so weak in its being that a person drops to that same arrow that the shaitan uses so often. Now I'm going to make mention of one thing regarding the eyes, because and next we will speak about the tongue. Just one thing. What should we do in regards to this eye? Now this is a topic in itself that needs many jumu'ahs that we will dedicate in time to come, because it is the sickness of the time. It is the sickness of the time. But one thing, make a strong mu'ahidah with your Creator. Make a strong mu'ahidah with your Creator that from today onwards, Ya Allah, I'm going to fast with my eye. Make a strong mu'ahidah. Because at the end of the day, we are weak. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. We are weak. We make so many mu'ahidahs, but we fall. But we make the mu'ahidah with Allah, we raise our hands. Accept the wrong to be wrong. Don't take it lightly. Say, Ya Allah, it is wrong. I want to adorn myself with modesty. That is a mighty, mighty sifat of our faith. And then focus upon the verse. Surah Ankabut. Surah Ankabut is the 29th surah. The last verse, verse 69. That echoes in many, many masajid. Many, many orators use it. And basically it gives a very general message. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. And basically what Allah Almighty is saying, that if you make an effort, Allah will guide you. This is the meaning of it, in a nutshell. So I'm going to make an effort with my eyes. Ya Allah, I know it is hard. My eyes have got the better of me. I don't know how many kafaras I have to make of my eyes. We break one fast, deliberately there's a kafara. How many? Kitne kafara aankhon ka dena? How many kafaras of the eye? How many times we have broken the fast of the eye? But Ya Allah, I'm going to make a mu'ahidah with you, a covenant with you. Ya Allah, you are my hadi, guide me. I need your guidance. I need your support. But if a person needs support, I say to Brother Mubarak, I need to make it to Garden City. Can you guide me? And Brother Mubarak says, Acha, go straight, Alatul. Take a left from Logan Road. Go straight, and you will hit Garden City. I say, okay. So he has guided me and I'm sitting here. And I'm not doing nothing. I'm not going to arrive. Just receiving guidance, information, and sitting here, etc. Next day I'm sitting here, Brother Mubarak comes, and Brother Mubarak says that, did you go to Garden City? He says, no, I didn't make it to Garden City. He said, why didn't you make it to Garden City? I gave you the right directions. Why didn't you make it to Garden City? He said that I took the information, but I didn't stand up. I didn't move. He said, Mevkuf, Ahmak, you madman. If you want to make it to Garden City, you have to stand up. Information is one thing, guidance is one thing. But you need to make an effort. Now we just make dua, Ya Allah. We look at the Quran. Ya Allah, give me hidayah. Ya Allah, I don't want to look at her. I'm looking. Pehle chudiyan chalengi. It will be hard in the start. It will demand a juhud. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا. It will demand a juhud. But even your employer, when he sees you make an effort, he rewards you at the end of the day. He finds that you fall, you falter, but he rewards you at the end of the day in proportion to your juhud. Now if we make dua, connect ourselves with Allah, and walk on this path that is very demanding. It's not easy for the men. It is very demanding, but we make a juhud, in proportion to that juhud, Allah will open the path for us. And a time will come. When will you know that you have attained some level of success? When this looking becomes disliked by you. That's when you know that Allah has indeed opened the sabil for you. That a time comes that you don't want to look. Nowadays, looking is natural. Not looking is not natural. A time will come that not looking is natural. And looking is not natural. So the mizaj of a human being becomes Islamic. And that's why the dua is, Ya Allah, grant us a Qur'ani, imani, Islami life. Qur'ani, imani, Islami life. Allahumma albisna bi khil'atil Qur'an. Ya Allah, grant us an attire of Qur'an. Now when we hear the stories of the past, sages, saints and awliya, and for three days they're sitting in one room and there's a girl there, and they don't even raise their eyes and look at this girl and give her even one glance, and many youth are desiring that moment. Many youth will say, "Hame wo mauka milta," and they don't even give that girl a glance. It's basically Allah has granted them through their juhud. Remember, through their juhud. It doesn't come overnight. That person that has arrived at the station, he didn't receive it just like that. He made a lot of juhud. We have to see the struggles that he made to arrive at this station where he is so confident that the looking becomes disliked to him. Doesn't want to look. Even the most beautiful, I'll conclude on this, we've run out of time. And then we will elaborate upon this next week further. You know when your stomach is full? You have food. So there's a sufra, you have food. And let's say you have, all fruits are from Allah, they're all ni'mats. But just as an example, lentils, I love lentils. I love lentils more than gosht, more than meat, myself. But a lot of people love gosht, meat. So in a da'wah, if you present lentils, it's disrespectful. In many, many cultures, they say, "Where's the meat?" So just keep that in mind. So one person, he has dal at home. Right? Dal and rice, ruz. Huh? Others and ruz, and he eats them. Stomach full? Somebody knocks on the door. Nah, stomach full. He can't even breathe. Ate so much. Now this person, somebody knocks on the door, he opens the door, and this person brings a tray covered. Now, his favorite dish, let's say, is biryani, palau, maqluba, and it comes inside. So he removes the sheet and there is the favorite dish. Can he eat it? Shabiat, I'm full, I can't have it. He likes it, but he say, "I can't," because he's full. Shabiat, he's full. We need to fill our eyes and our stomach with spirituality. This is what Islam is about. This is the philosophy. Imam Ghazali says, you need to fill your eyes and your stomach with spirituality. And once you fill it with spirituality, then even if it is attractive to so many, it will not be attractive to you. Even if it comes right in front of you, you will say, "Shabi'at, I'm full." You won't even look at it. It's not that it's not beautiful. It's not that it's not pretty. It's beautiful and pretty. We can't deny that. Allah has made men beautiful, handsome, I will say, and women pretty. But you are full. You will have no interest in it. Allah, give us that muqam. Allah, allow us to protect our eyes. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.